Jason Longshore, our guest now on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Jason, boy, it seems like that was just like 3 days ago, and now all of a sudden we're here at the opening of training camp.
I thought that was yesterday.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
We were talking about it inside. It feels like this is kind of the first day of school for everybody who's been around this team. You know, we haven't seen people in just a little bit of time.
Right.
And, you know, it's just a lot of the same people coming back. Just a few little differences, like the manager.
just a little bit.
Just a little one. Just a little one.
Just.
But it's like the new teacher, the new principal in school.
What was your first impression of him meeting the assembled media here in Atlanta? Manager DeBoer, first time I had never heard him speak before. English, a little bit broken English, but still good enough to understand what he was saying. How do you feel he handled that first opportunity to talk to everybody?
Really smooth. What he stressed so many times, and this is even before today, is how organized things are here with Atlanta United. And his last two stops, and we've talked about it before, there were a lot of questions because they didn't go well for him. But he said that at those two stops, he had to deal with so many things off the field, so many distractions, because those clubs both had a lot of issues behind the scenes. Here, he can just work. He can just get down to work, and that's what any coach wants.
When you say work, what do you think will be his first order of business?
Well, he also said it. People ask, you know, what are you going to be looking at? And he said, look, you know, things are good. You know, it finished well here last year. So there's really not something – you're not looking at it like, you know, like the Falcons going into next season where it's, okay, we need to upgrade X, Y, and Z. Right now it's, all right, how do I keep this train moving in this direction? Because you finished so strongly last year. I think early on a lot of it is going to be fitness. And he talked about that today, because you're going into a situation where month one of the season, you might play 7 games in your first month.
Wow.
If with CONCACAF Champions League and league play, you have to build that base of fitness early on to avoid injury.
Does that help, though, having just played all the way to the MLS Cup into mid-December? Does that change where you didn't have 3 months off? Not that these guys get out of shape, but to not be in game shape.
Oh, it's critical, because – match fitness is the thing that you'll build up over that time. But if you don't have that physical fitness, you can't compete at that level, because you're going to be playing Herediano from Costa Rica and potentially Monterrey from Mexico, whose league season's just started. So you're going to be facing those teams 7 games into their season. You're going to have to catch up on the match side, but you're right. You're not going to be building your physical fitness from scratch. It's not like these guys went and took 3 months off and hung out on the beach somewhere. They only took a couple of weeks off. And we saw all the videos this past week of Tito in Argentina training, Joseph training. All these guys have been working out.
When you look at how this squad is structured and everything, and he brings – he's a different cat, but you were telling me that he kind of has a kind of same philosophy, maybe a different formation. How do you think other players' role would change? I read somewhere that maybe Remedy and Nagby, they might change roles or something like that. Do you see any possibility of somebody who did something last year might do something completely different this year?
I guess the big question for me going into preseason is, what is Julian Gressel's role going forward? Is it going to be out wide? Is it going to be central? Is it going to be as a defender? Is it going to be as a midfielder? With so many pieces here, I think early on in those 7 games in the first month, if the team gets through the round of 16 in CONCACAF, you're going to see a lot of players with a lot of opportunities. And you might see some younger guys like an Andrew Carlton, like a Chris Goslin, like a Lagos Kunga get minutes in those early MLS matches. They're going to have an opportunity to shine. Gressel, a guy like Franco Escobar, has played a few different roles for this team. Remedy, Nagby, they're going to have a lot of opportunities to impress Frank DeBoer early on. And I think he's going to be kind of blessed by having all those games early on, because he's going to get a good sense of who he can trust in the squad.
Now, I read that Miguel Almiron reported today here at Atlanta United training facility right here in Marietta. Is there any chance, Jason, he is on the roster after this January transfer window?
There's a chance. There's definitely a chance, because it takes two to tango. It takes somebody to come in with the money that Atlanta United has set to get this deal done. And right now, the latest reports out of Newcastle are Newcastle United have set a number, and they're not budging from it. And that's not the number Atlanta United wants. The difference that I think Atlanta United's in than most clubs in this situation is they don't have to sell.
Right.
They don't need the money. You know, they can wait till the summer if they want to. They could wait till next year if they want to. I think in a perfect world, they get the deal done and they get the money that they want, because then they can move forward going into the new season. But if that deal doesn't materialize, they've got options.
You know these players way better than we, because you're around them a lot more than we are. And we all know that he wants to go, you know, and he wants to go. And do you think it might be a problem with him as far as, you know, might have an attitude? Because you know,
because
I know it's hard to say he doesn't want to be here, but
right.
We know where he wants to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he doesn't want to be here. It's more of where he wants to be.
Right.
I think it's a different situation,
right,
because we've all seen the situation with teams and players where they don't want to be where they are.
Right.
I don't think that's the situation here. I think he would be happy here.
Right.
But he's at a point in his career where if he's going to go test himself against the world's best, there's no better time than now in terms of his value and what he can bring to the table and the opportunities that are out there for him. So if everything can come together, now would be the perfect time. But it does take that other offer to come from the other side that you can't control.
Got Jason Longshore with us live here. And, again, we're at Atlanta United's training facility. Jason, this is my first time coming up here. Now, I've been familiar with this area. There's a Dave and Buster's, if you take a left.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have
Friday night.
They had a happy hour at about it got started about 5 o'clock
yes,
on
sir.
Friday. In my single days, that was a spot to be, Jason. If
yes,
you're a
sir.
Single man, I think it still pops over there on Friday afternoon. This is a marvelous facility. Now, this is where Atlanta United 2 plays matches,
no,
correct? No, they
no,
do not.
No, they just train here. The Academy plays matches
okay.
here.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And that's what's cool about the building when you get a chance to go inside and see it. You have the locker rooms for all of the Academy teams. And the side we're on, it starts with the youngest teams right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk down the hallway and you go to the first team locker room. So those kids who are up here training and playing matches, they see Joseph Martinez, they see Tito Villalba, they see Michael Parkhurst all the time. That interaction is really important, and when you start to see more kids come from this academy to the first team, that's a big reason why.
This place is not, it's all right. When I pulled up, I was like, whoa, okay. You know what I mean?
when I saw the map where it's at, I said, is that really where they built that?
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job, obviously, putting it together. We saw guys already out there this morning running around training. What does the beginning of training camp mean for these guys? Like, how hard do they start going, or is it a gradual ramp up to getting into game shape?
Gradual. And today, for first-team guys, it's medicals. It's getting your medical testing done, getting your baseline so everybody knows, okay, this is where I'm at coming in. And then you want to see those improvements. Something that DeBoer mentioned was the sports science department here. One, it's outstanding, and two, it's going to be critical. As you get into that month of so many games, you have to be able to measure where these guys are every day and know who needs more work, who can back off a little bit, who is where they want to be.
Usually when a new coach, manager, whatever comes in, he kind of wants to bring his own guys in. Did he retain a lot of the guys that were here with Tata? And I saw you tweet Orlando Trustville and Bob DeClercq. What would their roles be?
That's what we're waiting to see. Press conference will come out a little bit, or press statement will come out a little bit later today. Carlos Bocanegra mentioned that in the press conference. So we'll see where they fall. Orlando Trustville has been Frank DeBoer's assistant manager at his last two stops, so I would assume he'd be the same role here. We'll see where Bob DeClercq fits in. He's worked with Toronto FC previously, as well as all of his work in the Netherlands. So he knows the league. That's a nice bonus to have. Behind that in the staffing, we'll have to see. A lot of people did go with Tata Martino to Mexico, but not everybody.
Right.
And then there's also a portion of the staff that is kind of institutional. You know, you'll see that group stay on no matter who the manager is. And that's a lot of the backroom staff.
We've got Jason Longshore with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You could follow him at Longshoe on Twitter. Always great information about Atlanta United and everything soccer. It's not just Atlanta United. You're throwing stuff out there all the time. Before we continue on the conversation here, Mark Owens back in studio. I think it is time, if I could ever find the code words, to give away $1,000. I hope I didn't delete the code words. I think I did. The code word is food. Oh, yeah. Boy, that is the perfect code word at 1209. Food, F-O-O-D. You have to text food right now to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. Again, food, F-O-O-D. We could go for some food right
about
now.
Sending some food here?
I'm looking at T-Fox back there because this is normally lunchtime for him, too. I can see kind of that look in his eyes like, I need some food. So if you go, just a Pepsi and whatever you get.
Is this,
no tomatoes.
Is this the lunchroom right here?
No,
it's not a cafe.
No,
not
that, that's in there.
Okay, because I was like, "What is this room right here?" But yeah, I mean, Big Bang, Boss Bucks is here.
I know.
Yeah, Boss Bucks is here.
Big Bang Hank over there. He's going to treat. He's going to get some big pizzas for all of us.
Yeah, don't be coming at that fancy stuff you like to eat either. No quiche and all that. No, get us some pizza, some hot dogs.
That's your kind of stuff. Randy went out the other day, Jason, and he said he had.
Hold on, no, that's part of my. I'm
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave that alone.
I'll be listening in.
Miguel Almirón, as to how they continue to build this team, him being here, could that preclude them from making moves elsewhere?
It's fine right now, timing-wise. The longer everything drags on, you're going to have to figure it out because you can only have three designated players on your roster. And right now, the three designated players on the roster are Ezequiel Barco, Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almirón. If all of the reporting in Argentina is correct, and we would assume that it probably there's something to go with it, that Pity Martinez would be coming in.
Right.
Well, technically, you can't add him to the roster, but your roster doesn't have to be compliant until March 1st. And okay. Carlos Bocanegra was very clear in pointing that out in
the press conference.
Pity, he's not under contract yet.
Oh, okay.
So no.
Somebody snuck him over or something, you know.
I don't know. He's not under contract yet. That's been officially announced. So I don't know.
It is Magic City Monday.
You know what I mean? Is he here? We know they know their way around there.
But the LA Galaxy are in the spot too because they bumped Zlatan Ibrahimovic up to a designated player contract to keep him this year, and they already had three. So they've got to move one. Atlanta United, I think, is trying to get things done in place before they announce Pity Martinez, but we'll have to see what happens. There's a few more weeks before the transfer window closes in Europe, and we'll see what happens.
If they can't get that done, what happens to him?
I think your most likely scenario, and again, this is total speculation of a problem that hopefully doesn't come into play, I think you're going to have to work out a short-term loan probably on Barco.
Right, okay.
I think that would be the avenue you go because you don't want to lose the opportunity to bring in the reigning South American player of the year.
But hold on. I thought Barco was that dude, though.
He is. Okay. But four guys for three spots.
But I'm saying, is he better than Barco?
He's the reigning South American player of the year.
I mean, I'm just asking.
No offense, but he is that guy.
He's that dude. Okay.
Go down the rabbit hole of watching some Pity Martinez clips of his highlights. He is definitely that dude. Described as un loco divino by the president of River Plate. A divine madman.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't know
that
what.
Sounds good.
I don't know what divino means. I do know what loco means. And I get called, my wife calls me that all the time.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's un loco. Yeah, I am crazy. Yeah. We all know that. And you married me. That makes you even more crazy. What is the plan with Ezequiel Barco? Just assume he's here and not out on loan or anything else.
He's under a long-term deal. I mean, he's a young player, you know. And when you look at a young player who was one of the top South American players his previous year at Independiente, going to a new country, he had injury issues from the beginning of the year last year, so that derailed him. We know about the other stuff. That made it difficult for him, but I still think he performed. Go back and look at those games in the summer. And go back and look at the Seattle game specifically. He was the best player on the field.
Right.
He created the most chances in that match. He was very effective. Now, he had to accept a different role down the stretch. And full credit to him, he did.
Right.
And he made the most of it. But long term, he is a player that is incredibly special. But if you get to a situation where you have four designated players for three spots, you're not going to loan Joseph out.
No.
And you're trying to sell Miguel. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're at.
It's not a bad problem to have.
It's not, really.
No, it's not a bad problem at all to have. And that's where you're back to what Atlanta United's doing. They're really changing the game. When you're going and getting guys that are voted South American Player of the Year, and that's who you're talking about bringing in, on the back of potentially the largest transfer outgoing in MLS history – that's big-time moves.
Jason, this is awesome that we're back as MLS champs. I can't believe that in 2 years you're talking about Atlanta United like this.
He's that dude, right?
He is that dude.
All right.